So this is the new moon day, number one, the first in the year. So it's this is just drawing close to the end of New Year's Day, really. New Year's Day. Anyway, so what I wanted to do is, we haven't done, you know, we've been through like the 10th month and the 7th month and all of that. We've never been through the first month scriptures. And I was put off from doing it because there's actually 30 of them. And of course, you know, we're not going to get through all of them this evening, but we'll get started on them. And the ones that we don't get to tonight, and, you know, we'll go into next year. This time next year, we'll come back and we'll have another Bible study, God willing. What I'd like to cover this evening then is a pre-Passover repetition of the first month scriptures, and the ones that specifically apply to the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Went through some of them this past Sabbath there with the de-leavening sermon, but there's more to come. And, you know, I'm sure that we're all very familiar with these scriptures, but I thought that a new year review of these scriptures would be in order. And there's another reason why I wanted to cover this topic tonight. And we listened to Ronald Dart's Christian Educational Ministries, their organization, of course Ron's dead now, but their organization has been sending out Ron's Bible study on the series on the subject of the Passover. And now, I'm not knocking Ron. I got every respect. We love his preaching, for the most part, at least, and we have every respect for his memory. But although Ron believed and taught that the new covenant Passover is to be observed at the beginning of the fourth day, the 14th day of this first month, he also believed and taught that Jesus changed the time of the Passover observance from the end of the Passover day to the beginning of the Passover day. And you know, the teaching on that is that the only reason that Jesus didn't keep it at the end of at the day's end was because he wouldn't be alive. Going through these first month scriptures in tonight's Bible study, then I'd like to show you why I respectfully disagree with Ron's views on this. Okay, so I will start off then with the first month scriptures that are relevant to the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and you know where to go to Exodus chapter 12. And so we go into what are perhaps to Church of God ministers that these are the best known first month scriptures in the Bible. And these are the ones, obviously, that we're going to be spending lots of time on over the next couple of weeks. So starting in Exodus 12 and verses 1 and 2. And the Lord, Eternal Yahweh, spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So please note then, brethren, according to the Lord's holy word, this month in the early springtime is the first month of the year. Not January in the winter, and not, and I repeat, not the Jews inaccurately estimated Molad of Tishri in the autumn, and not their set 177 days counted back from it. If somebody will show me a scripture that states that God commanded this and this backward counting, then I will immediately rejoin the mainstream churches of God in their partial emulation of the Jews' timings. Okay? No takers? Okay, we'll continue on now. This day is in the springtime of each year. And this day is the first day of the first month of God's year, what we call the sacred year. And it's calculated not according to some fourth century human ideas and traditions, but rather according to what the Bible calls the lights in the firmament of heaven. And that's commanded in, and you don't have to turn there, in God's holy written word, Genesis chapter 1 and verses 14 to 18. Is there anything special about this first month of God's year? Well, yes, there is. There's lots of special aspects to it. Continuing now in verse 3. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, the first month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Jump down to verse 6. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, obviously the first month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. In the evening. Now, we talked about this on the Sabbath as well. The Hebrew for in the evening comes from the Hebrew words Bein Ha Arbayim. I'll spell that for you. B-E-Y-N hyphen H-A hyphen A-R hyphen B-A-Y-I-M. And that means between the evenings or between sunset and dark. And in other words, what that means is at the beginning of the 14th day of the first month, and that is exactly when Jesus and the disciples began their keeping of the Passover. We believe that that's when they kept it every year. And of course, in that particular year, that would be when they kept what would be Jesus' last Passover. Now, we're not going to turn there, but if you look at the gospel accounts, you will notice that when Jesus asked his disciples to go and prepare for the keeping of that special Passover, there was no mention of any incredulity or questioning by the disciples of Jesus's suggested timing. And I'll tell you, you know, where you can look that up, and you probably know Matthew chapter 26, Mark chapter 14, and Luke chapter 22. And we'll be going through some of these scriptures in just a couple of weeks' time now. And please remember that the disciples' comments and actions later on that same Passover evening prove that despite all that he told them, they still didn't get it. They still didn't fully understand. They couldn't accept and understand that Passover day was an extra special one in which he would be, you know, a 33-year-old man, that he would be arrested, he would be tried, he would be tortured, and he would be executed on that Passover day. Now, surely, if Jesus did actually change the timing, as Ronald Dart suggests there, if he did actually change the timing from the end to the beginning of the Passover day, that the gospel writers certainly, most certainly, would have questioned it. And just as surely, their questioning would have been recorded in the gospel accounts. Okay. Still in Exodus chapter 12, jump down to verse 18. Our next first month scripture here, verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, now this is a different word, this is Ba'erev, B-A hyphen E-R-E-V. On the 14th day of the month, at even, you shall eat unleavened bread, until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even, that's Ba'arev, B-A hyphen A-R-E-V. And again, please note that they are different Hebrew words for at even in this verse, that they're different than in the evening in verse 6. So here in verse 18, just to be clear, Ba'irev and Ba'arev mean the sunset that closes the 2 days that are mentioned there. Close the 14th day, closes the 20th day. Okay, so in other words, it's telling you that the Feast of Unleavened Bread lasts from the end of the 14th day of the first month until the end of the 21st day of the first month. And that makes 7 full days for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that's confirmed in the very next verse, 19. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eats that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. 7 days. If we counted the days for the Feast of Unleavened Bread from the beginning of Abib 14, Bein Ha Abayim, we'd be disobeying the Lord's command by keeping it for 8 days instead of the commanded 7. Okay. What you notice, if you look up, just look up the word 14th if you have the online Bible or, you know, or in Strong's Concordance, look up the word 14th, and what you'll see there with, you know, certain, obviously relative to Passover, is that a lot of the first month scriptures that we're going to continue with tonight are clear, purposeful repetitions of which day the Passover should be kept on. And it is never at the end of the 14th running into the beginning of the 15th. There's no concept of that. That's what the Jews did. That's what the Jews still do. That's what the Jews did on that last Passover day of Jesus' life. And they still do that. The scriptures never tell us that we have to do that. Rather, they tell us what to do in our very next first month scripture. Let's go over to Leviticus 23, please. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23 and verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, and again that's Bein Ha'arba'im, between sunset and dark, at the beginning of the 14th, is the Lord's Passover, in the 14th day. And then again, let's go over to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. And verse 1, Numbers 9, verse 1. And the Eternal spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt. That was, just as a matter of interest, was the same year as the tent tabernacle was first pitched. Out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover, look what it says, at his appointed season. At his appointed season. Now, I know there are people, there's some people who seem to think that the Passover timing is not very important. But is it? That's what people think. What does the Lord say? He says, twice he says, that his people are to keep it at or in its appointed season. And when, pray tell, would that appointed season be? Verse 3. In the 14th, not the 15th, in the 14th day of this month, this first month, at even, Bein Ha'arba'im, between sunset and dark, at the beginning of the 14th, you shall keep it in his appointed season. according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof, shall you keep it. And Moses spoke unto the children of Israel, that they should keep the Passover. What did they do? And they kept the Passover on, not after, the 14th day, not the 15th, the 14th day of the first month, at even, Bein Ha'arba'im, between sunset and dark. I know I'm repeating it, at the beginning of the 14th, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. They didn't do a lot right, but back then they at least did this right. And once again, in another, still in Numbers, further on to chapter 28, please. Numbers chapter 28. Numbers chapter 28 and verse 16. Numbers chapter 28 and verse 16. And in, not after, in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Eternal. Okay, so Aaron dies, Moses dies, Joshua takes over, and he was given the role, by God, was given the role of the human leader over the Israelites. Did he keep that same timing, or did he change it? Joshua chapter 4, please. Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, again, another first month scripture, and verse 19. Joshua 4:19, and the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. That, as we know, that was the annual Behold the Lamb day, the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. So that's, and they rested there, doesn't say that, but we continue down and we find that they rested there and they prepared for the upcoming Passover. So just nip over into Joshua chapter 5 and verse 10. Joshua 5 and verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on, not after, on the 14th day of the month, the first month, at even in the plains of Jericho. What happened when that generation died off? What happened when that generation died off? What happened when the Israelites moved into the era of the kings, and specifically the kings of Judah? Did they change the Passover timing? Well, let's go over to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 35. This is what the King Josiah, relatively righteous king, Josiah, this is what he did. Just one verse here. 2 Chronicles chapter 35 and verse 1. Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Eternal in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th, on, not after, on the 14th day of the first month. And again, that in every case, that killing of the Passover lambs would have occurred shortly after sunset at the beginning of the 14th. Time goes on again. Judah goes into captivity, into exile in Babylon. What happened when they came out of that exile? Let's go to Ezra. We go back in the Bible, but forward in time. What am I talking about? We look, see if we can find Ezra. There he is. Ezra chapter 6. I'm going backwards here. Ezra chapter 6. And again, just one verse here. Ezra chapter 6 and verse 19. Ezra chapter 6 and verse 19. And the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month. Once again, upon the 14th day, not after, but upon the 14th day of the first month. Okay, so now we go on to Ezekiel chapter 45. Ezekiel chapter 45. And it's kind of interesting when you read the Ezekiel's what I call the temple visions, and when he writes about the temple visions that he had, it's difficult to know whether that they refer to some time in our future, perhaps in the world tomorrow, or whether he's describing events that are actually closer to his own human lifetime. With the temple then. And I'm not going to be dogmatic on that point. Whichever of those is correct, let's just read here what Ezekiel's inspired opinion was of the correct Passover timing. Ezekiel chapter 45 and verse 21. In the first month, not after the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover, and I would add the word and in there, a feast of 7 days, when unleavened bread shall be eaten. Okay. Over and over again, the scriptures tell us that the old covenant Passover was to be kept and killed and cooked and eaten on, in, and during the 14th day of the first month. Nowhere do any of the scriptures ever say that the Passover was to be killed at the very end of the 14th, and the rest of the keeping of the Passover ceremonies were to be kept on the 15th. Nowhere will you find that. People have tried to push that that version of the events, but the Bible just does not bear this out. Let's go back to Leviticus 23 again. Leviticus 23 again. I just want to... Leviticus 23. So, just thinking about the 15th, what did God command to be done on the 15th day of this first month? Just for the sake of comparison, we'll repeat verse 5 and then run into verse 6. Verse 5, in the 14th day of the first month, at even, Ben Ha-Abayim, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month, the first month, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. What you see there between those two verses is a clear delineation between those 2 days. 14th day of the first month, 15th day of the same month. And the Lord had Moses repeat this in the book of Numbers. Let's go over to Numbers again. Numbers 28. And we see the same thing. Numbers chapter 28 and verses 16 and 17. And in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Eternal. And in the 15th day of this month, same first month, is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. Again, clear delineation there between the 2 days. So why the 15th? What happened on the 15th, right after that first Passover? What important thing happened on the 15th that year? Over to Deuteronomy again, please. Have we been to Deuteronomy? No, I don't think we have. And this is a somewhat controversial scripture. And Deuteronomy, I've heard different things about it, that Deuteronomy 16 was edited by Ezra for some reason. I'm not sure. Anyway, it doesn't matter. If you have to think about what it says here. Observe the month of Abib, verse 1, Deuteronomy 16, 1. Observe the month of Abib. Okay, so we get the old name of the month there. This is the first month of God's sacred year. And keep the Passover. Now, I believe it's talking about the Passover in its seasonal sense here. In other words, we talk about the Passover season and we include the Feast of Unleavened Bread in that. So I think that's what it's talking about here. And keep the Passover unto the Eternal your God, for in the month of Abib, the Eternal your God brought you forth out of Egypt by night. And that's what I'm looking for there, that God brought them forth out of Egypt by night. Now, which night? If you just read that one verse, it'll sound like it was Passover night that they came out, the night of the 14th. Is that what it was? No, it wasn't. Let's read what the Lord commanded here. First of all, let's go back to Exodus chapter 12 and see what he commanded them not to do during that first Passover night. Exodus chapter 12. Sorry to have you running all backwards and forwards. Good way of staying awake, though. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 22. It's in the Passover instructions here for the Old Covenant times. Exodus 12, 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts of your front door of your house with the blood that is in the basin. And this is important. None of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. None of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Now, some people have tried to play around with the definitions of the words morning and night. When they do that, they get themselves all mixed up, and the timings, the incorrect timings, just don't fit with the scriptures. They don't fit. So again, which night did the Lord take the Israelites out of Egypt? Let's go back to Numbers again and let God's holy word give the answer. And it's another of our first month scriptures. Numbers chapter 33. Numbers chapter 33. Numbers chapter 33 and verse 3. And they departed from Ramesses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover. The children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. Now, like every other day, the Passover day, Abib 14, has two parts. There's a nighttime part and then there's a daytime part, sunset to sunset, right? And so does the morrow after the Passover. So Abib 15, the first day of unleavened bread, it too is made up of two parts. Nighttime part at the beginning and a daytime part. And the scripture that we just read said that the Israelites went out from Egypt, first of all, by night. And then it says on the morrow after the Passover. And that's right. They went out during the nighttime part of Abib 15, which we refer to as the night to be much observed, and the beginning of the first day of unleavened bread. It was impossible for those early Israelites to have left Egypt during that first Passover night, still during the 14th. For a couple of reasons. First of all, God had commanded them to stay within their homes. Their firstborn, the Israelite firstborn, as well as the Egyptians too, but the Israelites who obeyed God's command, the firstborn were protected from death by the front door of their house. They were protected by the sign of the lamb's blood on the lintels and the doorposts. As long as they stayed all night behind those doors, they were okay, they were safe. And then, we don't have to go into the scriptures now, but it says that Pharaoh sent servants during the night and told and said he wanted to see Moses and Aaron. I don't believe they may have come during that particular night, but if they did, there's absolutely no way that Moses and Aaron, as far as we know, they didn't have any kind of special dispensation. There's no way that they would have disobeyed the Eternal by leaving their houses during the night before the morning. Again, you won't find any scriptural mention of any special dispensation for them. Secondly, there wasn't enough time. There wasn't enough time. If you think about everything that had to happen during that night, the Passover lambs could not be killed until after sunset. After sunset, Bein Ha'arba'im, between sunset and dark at the beginning of the 14th. So think about it. Right after sunset, the lambs had to be slain and bled and skinned and roasted. And I don't know what kind of ovens they had back then, but there's a possibility that they may have been spit roasted. I'm not sure of that, but that's a possibility that they had like fireplaces with spits in them. And if you've ever seen, I've seen deer being spit roasted. I've never seen a lamb, but I know that when I've seen a deer being spit roasted at a church picnic one time, that it took a long time, you know, for the actual roasting. So I believe that, I'm not an expert on it, but I believe that it's a slower process than oven roasting. So what I'm trying to get at here is that the preparation, the cooking, the eating, and the cleanup must have continued well into the night, and the leftovers were to be burnt the following morning. Let's go back to Exodus 12 again. I should have asked you to bring a bookmark. Exodus chapter 12 again, and verse 10. Exodus 12 and verse 10. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remains of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. How could that have happened if they were no longer there in the morning? If they would have left during Passover night, how could they get rid of the leftovers in the morning? And then after that night, when they were able to go out of their doors in the morning, it took time for them to spoil the Egyptians. Let's jump down to verse 33. Verse 33, and the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. Verse 35, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. In reality, it was actually the word of the Lord, the Eternal. And they borrowed of the Egyptians, that the Hebrew word is Yeshalu, and it means demanded, not just borrowed. We're going to give you it back again. they demanded of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and the Eternal gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they, the Egyptians, lent, and the word is, the Hebrew word is same word kind of back to front, yashilu. First one was yishalu, this one's yashilu, and it's gave on demand. Okay, so the Israelites demanded it, the Egyptians gave unto them, the Israelites, such things as they required, and they, again the Israelites, spoiled the Egyptians. The word spoiled is the Hebrew natzal, and it means snatched away from. It's important to know that spoiling was not stealing. It was not stealing. First of all, that spoil can be thought of as, in a very relevant way, as back wages in payment for the Israelites' many years of unpaid slave labor. But secondly, and more importantly, this spoiling of the Egyptians had actually been commanded, not by Moses. Moses was just a messenger who delivered the command from the Lord, but by the Lord God, way back at the beginning of Exodus, before all of the miraculous curses that God brought down on the Egyptians, way back. And let's go back and read it, because it's interesting that he came out, Exodus chapter 3. And this is way back at the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow, and the Hebrew word there is sha'ala, and again it means demand. But every woman shall demand of her neighbor and of her that sojourns in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. And again, that's nitzaltem, is the Hebrew nitzaltem, and it means snatch away from the Egyptians. Okay. One of the obvious questions that people always bring up is, if the Israelites left Egypt on the night of the 15th, why did God command them to be dressed and ready for the journey on the previous night, on the Passover night? Let's go back and look at it. Exodus chapter 12 again. Let's go forward and look at it. Exodus 12 and verse 11. And thus shall you eat it, the Passover lamb, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And the answer to the question is, and the question again is, why did God command them to be dressed and ready for the journey, is that they almost definitely did not go to bed that night, that Passover night. And there's a good possibility that they did not go to bed during the daytime portion of the Passover day either. You think about it, logically, if it was us and we'd been in captivity, and our ancestors, you know, our grandparents and our parents and our great-grandparents had been in Egyptian slavery for all of those years, and we saw no way, no chance of getting out of it, and then all of a sudden, in a matter of a couple of weeks and months, all of this started to come together. How could they sleep? How could they have slept with all that needed to be done? All that was happening on that evening. Again, the Passover lamb had to be prepared, roasted, eaten, cleaned up. And the daytime, got to get rid of all of it. God told, you know, the people to get rid of all of the leftovers, and in the daytime, the spoiling of the Egyptians, and also the packing and the loading, getting ready for the journey. But also going back to the Passover night, and I think the Ten Commandments movie depicts it in a good way. I must say a good way. How many firstborn Egyptians were dying during the night? How many Egyptian families were wailing and lamenting? Can you imagine what the sound, what the noise would have been like? Must have been awful. Horrible thing. So there was obviously excitement, great excitement and anticipation that they were going to be leaving Egypt and that slavery behind after hundreds of years. Every single Israelite, other than Moses, had been born into Egyptian slavery. Over and over again, they'd witnessed, of course, Moses was born into slavery as well, but he grew up in the royal house. But over and over again, they'd witnessed with their very own eyes these miraculous fulfillments of God's promises. And there they are during the night there. Would he fulfill? This is the big one. Will he really fulfill this one? Would he? Could he really free them from Egypt and slavery? How could they sleep? Could you have slept? You know, if it were me, I wouldn't want to miss a second of it. You know, the brethren, you know, talk to Isabel. And Isabel wants to be there, you know. She wants to see everything that leads up to the end times, you know. And I don't want to see all of that stuff, but, you know, but that's the kind of excitement, that's the kind of anticipation that they must have had. They've seen, you know, yeah, they had problems with belief and faith later on, if that's true, and they did all kinds of wrong things, but at this point in time, they'd seen over and over again, they'd seen God acting for them. And finally, this was the big move. Will he really do it? Will he really do it? Anyway, and I wouldn't want to miss a second of it, and I don't think they did either. So that's it then. That's it for our first month scriptures, at least for relative to the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And again, maybe next year, you know, God willing, that we'll delve into the other first month scriptures, scriptures that are not necessarily relative to the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but are still very significant in other ways.